Welcome to our podcast. Here's part two of our special interview with Bishop Eduardo Kassala of South Sudan. I start by asking, is the voice of the church heard by the government in his country?
The government of South Sudan hears this very well, and we have a very good and mutual relationship with the government because the fact that we are talking about the rights and dignity of the people. But somehow we have some differences with the government of the north. They perceive, they think probably the church is advocating for separation. We are not. Actually, we have decided that our conference will remain one, even if it comes to separation. The real problem is, since for many years, our government never had a strong opposition party. If it is doing things that harms human beings, and the church said, no, this is a human being, you don't need to humiliate, you don't need to kill, you don't need to discriminate against this human being, then the church looks like an opposition party. And we are looked at as people who are against the government. We are not. So we make these voices, and somehow they don't get it well. If they are already prejudiced against the church, this message doesn't go, but we hope they know that we are actually talking about something that's positive. We are talking about a peaceful country. That's good for them. They are ruling, they should rule people who are actually living in peace. But our voice is also, again, to the international community. I have a fear that it's not all heard. And that's why I'm here again to raise this voice and say, look, it is cheaper, it's very cheap at this moment to be a friend to Sudan than to wait we get into war. It's very expensive. If the war starts, then that's the moment the TV is filled with the dead people, millions of people are dying in Sudan, or we raise the humanitarian service. This is too late. That's not necessary even. So actually, I'm saying at the moment, we need to use all energy we can in order to stop the conflict in the country. And in a very particular way, I'm happy to be here in England. And my message even to the government here is that I'm not advocating for history, but history repeats itself. And we are part of history. England, they know the history of what's happened in Sudan. Just at day one of the independence, we celebrated independence in division. South Sudan was already treated separately, and North was separately, and was only joined at independence. And since then, from that day to today, there's never been peace. So my message to the British government is the homework is not finished. They need to come back, and this time to go to a peaceful end, and to make sure that really the work is finished well, and now we can rejoice because those people they've got their freedom, and they are in peace. And I think that will be joy, and not only for England, but for all of us and for the people of the world. The relationship between Islam and Christianity in Sudan have been a little bit sad for the fact that the government took a very radical approach or a radical type of Islam. It's a fundamentalist type of Islam. And this actually disregarded the existence of Christians. But the fact that we count about 25% of the population, and Islamic law was imposed on the country without any regard to Christians, and we were all under this law, judged according to this law, denied all the services that are required, that are national, that are meant for us, actually made the relationship between Christians and Muslims to be bad. I'm very much aware of good Muslims I've met and who are in my country, but they are intimidated. They can't speak up because the type of government they use the government arm, they use the government machinery to do what they want to do at the expenses of the majority. And we have experienced a lot of discrimination from this sectarian type of government, using Islamic law, using Islamic system to dominate the country. And in fact, you know that in at 54, at 56, after one day only after the independence, the president, the first prime minister, went and registered Sudan as one of the Arab world. And then immediately after, when he was changed, the military men who came over, he just imposed Islamic law. And since then, all the government coming have been always putting that. So our relationship, we don't have very good image of this of this religion in the way it has handled the people in Sudan. But there has been a lot of efforts from our side and trying to get good-minded Muslims who just believe in God and would like to guide their life by this religion. And efforts have been made, but the real difficulty they have is the whole thing is being led by the government. So there's no distinction between the religion and the government affairs. So you really can't make a change. So the government decrees that from now on, I think you know that I can't build a church in Sudan. By law, it's you can't build a church. But and I'm a Christian, I'm a Sudanese. Is this not my legitimate right to build a church in my country where I was born and I'm a Christian? I cannot be allowed to do it. What type of life is this? So these things actually I'm saying that our relationship has not been good, and the insistence of Islamic code within our political system will continue to make life, will continue to make a dialogue, will continue to cause a lot of differences between the country. And let me remind you this too. You know that Osama bin Laden lived in Sudan for 6 years. And if he was from Sudan, he went to Afghanistan, you know. And you can see the chain of world history that where we are now began there. It began there. The war with now the NATO program in Afghanistan, that began, if you have to follow the string, you will end up in Sudan. So
there's some really good points there, Father, yeah. But I can see I'm running out of time. So just very, very quickly to finish on a positive note, you've talked about ACN and the contribution to the local church. What can Catholics in England and Wales do to support you at this moment in time?
Yeah, that sector and the message I wanted to give at the end is that basically, as I said early on, I came on a primer note is to actually to thank the whole body of the Aid to the Church in Need for what they've been doing for the Sudan before, during the war, and even after. And their help has been very substantial, and they continue to do it. It's in all angles, in everything, that they've been very much at our service. They've worked with us during the most difficult period. And actually now that we are also facing this delicate moment, they have enabled us to survive as a church. And the activities that we do, schools, hospitals, and also the training of priests, and also the care of the pastoral activities of the church has been done by the Aid to the Church in Need. So I'm here to say thank you and to them, and also to ask them at this moment to pray for us. We very much need their prayers, and actually the Catholic community, the Christian community in England, to pray for us at this moment so that we make the best and the wise decision, and that war may not return back to our country. So this is what I say. And of course, we are aware that the country is at a delicate moment. It could even go worse. So let them also be prepared to continue their support for us until we are able to come out of these atrocities and the suffering that we have. So I really appreciate their support for the church in Sudan and our benefactors. I also promise to pray for you here.
So. Bishop Eduardo, thank you very, very much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Bishop Eduardo Kasala there from South Sudan. For the very latest from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk. For more from Aid to the Church in Need, the Catholic charity that helps Christians who suffer persecution or oppression for their faith, visit www.acnuk.org.